Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Well, hello everybody. It's Amanda Richard here, and it's a new semester, and we actually have a new interview lined up. We're going to be talking with Maryland native Lydia Sylvia Martin, and she's just put out a new record called Chasing the Ghost. And I always threaten the students that I know plenty of banjo players, but I think everyone's going to really enjoy Lydia's playing. So we're going to start off while I get her on the phone and listen to Lydia as she sings the Dark Holler Blues here on the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Was Lydia Sylvia Martin doing the Dark Holler Blues from her new record, Chasing the Ghost. And if I pushed all the right buttons, she's the next voice you'll hear. I said, if I pushed all the right buttons.
Oh, oh hi, everyone, and thanks so much for having me.
This is really a fun record. I just got it a couple of weeks ago, and it's really, really interesting to me, like the whole variety of music that you put on it.
I had this crazy idea of trying to show a lot of the history of the banjo, the different cultural influences and different settings that I think a banjo appropriately can fit into, and it may not be the way you normally think of it. We actually had a couple extra tracks that weren't included, like a blues song and a cover of Gram Parsons, but they're available online, and but even the 12 tracks that made the cut, I wanted to show the blues and the Irish and the crossover between old time and the genres.
Well, that's really a good point, because when I've talked to banjo player named Richard Withers out in Pittsburgh and his buddy Mark Tamsula, the fiddler, that's one of the points that they make, because they specialize in sort of recreating the music that was collected in the 1920s to the 1940s out in western Pennsylvania. And so much of that clearly came from Irish music or Scotch music or English music. And that's pretty much true with a lot of the traditional tunes all across Appalachia.
Oh, definitely. And the ballads like Cecil Sharp collected, And Appalachia was a really cool place where multiracial families could live without meaning very much prejudice. And so you even had families that were Black, white, and Native American, and all mixed in these communities. It was a great place for music to be shared.
Now, this track that we just opened up the show with, Dark Holler Blues, I believe you used to listen to a lot of Clarence Ashley when you were at Goucher College.
Yeah, I had a CD of him called Greenback Dollar, and there's a lot of good songs on there. There's like a clear divide between the modal songs and then the really major songs that he would play on guitar, and I kind of lean towards the modal ones, although I play a couple of the others too.
Well, what the heck was possessing you to be listening to that kind of music when you're in college as opposed to, you know, listening to all the alternative music that the students around here listen to?
I don't know. I played with my family band ever since I was 12, and I enjoyed it a lot, and I got really into the banjo when I was 20, 21. I had received a banjo for my 16th birthday, but I kind of put the music down for a couple years and got back into it in my college years. And I loved the traditional music and going to study with people like Dwight Diller and George Gibson and going to festivals. But I also had a dream of having this ultimate fusion of old time and like Grateful Dead style and rock and drums and rap. And we kind of got started on that with a college band called the Ripoff Con Artists. But unfortunately, that band only lasted about 6 months. But I always loved just the idea of making your own music with your own two hands, you know, at home. And it's a family tradition for us because my dad's family were musical, and they came from Virginia.
That's, you know, it's funny you say that because that's an awful lot of people really have enjoyed that idea of making traditional music new or using traditional music as part of, you know, what they present, that's something new.
You kind of can't help it. You could academically study someone you admire and a style that you find interesting, but it wouldn't be authentic to not sing from your own heart, and there's just no way to do that without changing it from the version you heard before.
I think that's a pretty key point, that this traditional music that you and I both love, it's, you have to respect the tradition, but you also then have to be willing to make the music new to make it your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so timeless, though. I mean, really good things. You don't have to change them much. It's just your individual stamp. You don't have to change the whole style. And really good stuff, it doesn't go out of style.
Now, where exactly did you grow up? Was it in rural Maryland, or was it one of the cities? I don't even know.
I grew up in Boyds, Maryland, in Montgomery County, so
okay.
In between D.C. and Frederick, and I was on the border of the country and the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
But we're, you know, convenient to the cities, and it's a really metropolitan area, politically very open-minded people, and but we did have farm animals and goats, chickens, we were in 4-H, so it was really kind of on that borderline, and actually the area where I grew up has been developed now, so it's really suburban. And you see a lot of farms disappearing, which it almost feels like a personal insult to me. Like they're doing it just to mess with me, which obviously isn't true, but it's just sad to see those farms go. So.
And your family comes from, I think it's southwestern Virginia or some parts of your family?
Yeah, the Martin family.
Yeah.
On my dad's side.
Yeah.
Hillsville area. And then my mom's side, we're Filipino and Irish. My grandfather joined the Navy from the Philippines, and then my grandmother came from Baltimore, and her family's Irish, the Collins.
I'll be darned. Filipino, Irish, Appalachian.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
So you guys started playing with your parents when you were preteens, and mm-hmm. You were doing all sorts of different kinds of music. Your mom on the hammer dulcimer, and your dad would play different instruments, and you kids would play different instruments.
Yeah, I like to try a lot of instruments, and my younger sister, she plays a few as well. But my brother focused mostly on the fiddle, and he was amazing. Maybe it was because he focused on it so strongly, but he also had natural ability that just can't be taught. And I played the recorder, piano, and guitar. My mom taught me guitar. So we would play at art galleries, but also at jams that would go really late until the night, and, you know, festivals. And then it got to playing, like, at weddings, and we started playing at George Washington's in Mount Vernon, which was pretty
cool.
Fun.
It's a shame that your brother passed away this past year, but I think all your family really thinks that the best way to remember him is to keep playing the music.
He loved it, and he loved to see people having fun and jamming, and he definitely would want that. And we're also going to compile recordings of him, and we're going to release that later this year. We're having a tribute concert October 7th with the Folklore Society of Greater Washington to release Claude's recordings. And Claude just, he was a really special person, and sometimes it seems like the people who are the most special are, they're taken first and they go young. It's almost like they're too good for this world. But for him, music was just like breathing. He was just amazing.
Well, on your new record, Lydia Sylvia Martin's Chasing the Ghost, you do have a track where you get to play with him, Joe Bones. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we let the folks hear it?
Well, it's a song from West Virginia from Maggie Hammonds, and I heard Dave Bing playing it. It's kind of a quirky and weird song that goes from D major to D minor, and it's just a kind of an odd little tune, and I actually threw that on there. Like, it was one of the last tunes I recorded, and I was actually 8 months pregnant and in the studio just trying to, it wasn't easy, but Claude was patient, and Steve Steckler at Asparagus Media, he was really nice and helpful. So Claude was really nice to play on that for me. I kind of was trying to show, like, what I could do solo if I went out on the road by myself. Everybody else might be busy or working a job, but I was trying to make a solo album, but it just would have been wrong to not show some of my family music because it's just so good.
Well, let's give a listen, folks. Here's Lydia Sylvia Martin and her brother Claude Martin doing Joe Bones on WVUD.
First he acts and then the knife, first he acts and captain and a knife to kill that captain, take his life. Keep him quarter, yes I will. Keep him quarter, yes I will. Keep him quarter, yes I will. And sell the rest to Kaiser Bill. Walk all Joe Bones, walk away. Walk all Joe Bones, walk all day. Walk all Joe Bones, walk away. Walk all Joe Bones, walk all day. Joe Bones walk away, walk on Joe Bones walk all day. Walk on Joe Bones walk away, walk on Joe Bones walk all day.
Well, there you go. Joe Bones featuring Lydia Sylvia Martin's brother, Claude Martin. And off the air, we were talking about Dirk Powell. And he ended up producing this record?
Yes, I met him and Riley Bogus at a festival and heard them perform, and I was just really impressed with their style. And they actually invited me to play on stage with them after they heard my family playing. So we just kind of have the same musical style, so it was a, seemed like a good person to work with. So, yeah, he's a really cool guy.
What kind of people do you find easiest to play with?
Friendly people, people who are relaxed and have good, you know, at least some sense of rhythm or the ability to listen to what you're doing.
I love that, some sense of rhythm. So you've got a three-year-old around the house. How does he like his mom playing the banjo?
Oh, he likes it. He'll dance and he'll play it himself. He'll pluck strings and make up little songs. But after a certain point, you know, maybe half an hour, he's going to want you to put it down and talk to him. But he does like it, yeah.
Well, I can remember growing up that we kids had a record player we were allowed to use, and we used to love to listen to some of these old folk songs and with guitar or banjo accompaniment. And matter of fact, when I played one of your records on the air last week, I had earlier played something by Hetty West, who was from Georgia, and just banjo and singing these traditional songs. And you're like that, but you've got some real fast chops there on the banjo, and you really just do such a nice job of balancing, you know, the speed and the taste, which a lot of young players make the mistake of just playing as fast as they can.
Well, I learned a lot from Dwight Diller, and I don't know if, I mean, Dwight doesn't typically want to play like really fast, but playing with my brother and sister, of course, we're going to try to outpace each other and just have fun playing as fast as we can. But really, if you just realize that the rhythm's more important than the notes you're playing, you're going to be able to pick up the tempo and still sound together. But I think it's when you try to make every little note stand out equally, it's going to sound crazy. But, you got to emphasize the notes where the beat is, and the other notes just fall as they may.
Well, the awful lot of these tunes, as you and I know, and as some listeners might know, a lot of these tunes came out of dances. I mean, their whole idea is to play them for dances.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've definitely played quite a lot of square dances, contra dances, and even Kaylee dances where I play piano. And so really actually going to dances and playing for real people is one of the best experiences that anybody could have.
I couldn't agree with you more, Lydia. It's I just love being on the bandstand at a contra dance. And if they're having fun, we're having more fun on the bandstand. Because we're having more fun, they're having more fun. It's whatever the opposite is of a vicious circle. It's a happiness circle. It just builds.
It's a really special thing. I think it's a privilege to play for dances.
It really is. What happens at an Irish dance that would be different that I would have the experience of playing for a square dance or a contra dance?
Well, I mean, you play Irish tunes, and the actual figures of the kid are different, but they don't look that different, you know. They're all related, and even English country dances. I mean, they're all, you know, figures of people in lines or little square formations and weaving around together, and sometimes the Kaylee dancers will put actual steps in, like percussive steps, which is pretty cool. But they don't always do that because not everybody knows how to do that. But up in the Catskills, they do.
So it's do they have callers like I'm used to when I play for a contra dance or a square dance?
One of the callers that we usually work with is Marilyn Moore. But honestly, just a different point is I really prefer it, if it's possible, to have acoustic calling and even acoustic music, because on my ears, that's just easier. I mean, people aren't going to always be willing to go acoustic, but sometimes you get in a room and the mic is really loud, the calling is really loud, and then if the room is echoing, then the PA system's going to be crazy. But some of the best dances I've played at were out in a field, and everything's acoustic. Or if it's going to be amplified, you got to have a room that's not going to be totally muddy.
Playing acoustic, like you say, without any amplification is fun. And if you're doing a dance, and then it's really cool if you can have three fiddlers or more volume.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, music has always been part of your life, but your website, it mentions that you studied biology in college.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to study something that was hard for me and challenging.
But you kept up your music.
Yeah, definitely. I actually had a music minor. I just stopped like one or two classes short of it. But it's hard to know what you really want to focus on. If you want to make a difference to the world and the planet, I'm really interested in the environment. And I was pre-med at one point. It's kind of hard to know where to best invest your effort.
You're still using some of the things you learned in biology, because I know you're active in organic gardening and have other kinds of interests and causes like that that you work with.
Definitely, and one of the best tools I got from the biology major was just structuring your thought and having the burden of proof for something and just philosophically analyzing what makes you believe this or that. It is actually really deep and interesting. But I didn't get to that level of thinking about science until my third and fourth year of college, because for some reason in the intro classes, it's all these technical details. But when you get up to the advanced level classes and the teacher's just, teaching with a piece of chalk or a marker, and he doesn't need a book because he or she knows so much, and you really just get down to seeing how eloquent the way they think is. It's pretty amazing.
I think the way you play and sing is pretty darn elegant as well.
Thanks.
Singing is an important part of your music, too. How did you get started doing that? I mean, was that something you did with the family? Is that something you work on? Or is that something you just do naturally?
Well, I don't really think of myself as a singer. I don't think I was really born with much of a voice, but I just try to use it to tell a story and be a second instrument to work with the banjo. My mom did teach us how to sing at an early age, and she just said, put your hands over your ears and listen to yourself and, see if you're singing the right note. And my first instrument was the recorder, which plays pretty pure, straight notes, and mm-hmm. I think I tried to mimic it. I would go out to the shed and try to practice singing Christmas carols when I was younger, but I was never really much of a singer. I played instrumentally for a really long time, and then it got to the point kind of when I was in college and my sister and I said, hey, we need to start singing. Like, singing is where it's at. It's fun. People like it. We played instrumentally for about 10 years.
We've picked out all three tracks that feature your singing for the folks. I mean, your banjo playing is wonderful. And the other thing I love is that you've got different styles. I mean, there are times I hear you finger picking, times I hear you frailing, times you're doing just a straight downstroke, almost like a 19th century minstrel style. So, but the singing is, like you say, people really identify with that in some ways.
Yeah.
So we were discussing off the air, what song should we close with? Are we going to go with C&O Train, or you want to go with a different one?
Sure, that one would be cool. You'll get to hear Phil Wiggins. He's a legendary, wonderful harmonica player, really cool guy. And this is the tune that we were jamming on when I first met him. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was just that cool guy with the harmonica. And his rhythm was so good. He was just, in my book, as soon as I met him, I'm like, he's got the beat. Like, he's cool by me,
Lydia, thank you so much. This is Lydia Sylvia Martin that I'm talking with. Her new record is Chasing the Ghost. And it should be available to all the places where independent music can be found. Are you on CD Baby?
I think so. If not, it'll be in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
It's just being released right now, actually. So it's fresh off the press.
Yeah. So it's really a great record. And I'd urge our listeners to go look for it. And if you are going to be in the D.C. area, look to see if the Martin Family Band or Lydia Sylvia Martin are playing out. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
And we're going to let the folks hear you and Phil Wiggins on CNO Train.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.